Welcome to the June 20th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. Bitcoin has done well since yesterday morning. So around 9 a.m. Eastern time yesterday morning, Bitcoin was near $9,050. And since then, it has gone up quite a bit. So it actually peaked around 10 p.m. Eastern time last night. It went as high as $9,350, but the resistance around that level. So it seems like there's general resistance from $9,400 to $9,500, and that's the resistance level we really have to break for Bitcoin to continue its recent bull run. But anyways, Bitcoin tested that again. It was pushed back like it has been the past several times. And now Bitcoin is trading near $9,300, which is not too shabby. It would just take another little bullish push for Bitcoin to once again test that $9,400 to $9,500 resistance level. And the Bitstamp order book dev chart indicates there's plenty of buying pressure, even more than selling pressure. So maybe we'll see another attempt at that today. Zooming out on the weekly chart, Bitcoin has been in a trading range between about $9,450 and $8,800 since June 16th. So that's in the past 4 to 5 days, Bitcoin is between support at $8,800 and resistance at $9,400 to $9,500. So just to be clear, it seems like we have two support levels. One support level is at $9,000 and an even more important support level is at $8,800. Since if we would break below $8,800, there'd probably be a significant crash. But as long as we hold above $8,800, we'll have a chance at retesting $9,400. Right now, today is like more talking about going up to $9,400 though, since we're so close at $9,300 already. And the interesting thing is the stocks have been doing quite well the past couple of days. So the Federal Reserve had its meeting. They did not cut the Fed funds rate at all during the meeting, but they slightly hinted, like their chart showed that maybe they'll cut the rate by like 0.25% at some point this year in 2019, and then they're going to raise it again by 0.25% in 2020. So that seems like lukewarm and indecisive and not that big of a deal to me, but the stock market is clutching or grasping for anything that can be taken as an excuse to buy stocks, it seems like. So the futures are up like 200, 300 points this morning in the Dow Jones. And the Dow Jones would be at like 26,700 or 26,800 at the opening bell at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, which is coming up soon. I'm recording this just before 9 a.m. And so, yeah, that's like the top of the resistance. Like, that's the highest the Dow Jones has gotten in the past year and a half. So during the past year and a half, the stock market has been sideways and volatile, capped below this level, below 27,000 points on the Dow Jones. So right now, stocks may very well be at the top of what they're going to be anytime soon. So this might be the highest we see stocks for a while, because usually when the stocks get this high, they come crashing back down. And I find it very interesting that Bitcoin's at $9,300 and looking pretty good on the buy pressure when the stocks are doing good too. Because we've noticed this inverse correlation where generally if stocks go down, Bitcoin goes up, because people who typically trade stocks would diversify into Bitcoin when stocks are performing poorly, because Bitcoin would be a profitable investment option at that point. And it's vice versa. If the stocks rally a lot, then those same people that usually buy stocks that might have bought some Bitcoin, they put their money back into stocks, making Bitcoin go down. But this morning it seems like there's plenty of buy pressure to go around for Bitcoin, and the stock market going up is not really affecting Bitcoin. Bitcoin's doing fine this morning, practically mildly bullish actually. And it's very interesting to me, because if the stocks are really at the top of the range, like, I guess there is a chance technically that the stocks would bust through the resistance level and keep going up. I think that's unlikely though, considering the weakening economic data, such as massively increasing debt bubble and global trade is weakening and manufacturing is decreasing and the bond yield curve inverted, which means people rushing into long-term bonds as a safe haven. So with all that data combined, it seems like maybe stocks are ready to go down from this point this morning. So this morning might be the zenith of the stock market for a while. So if stocks start looking bearish, which I think is more likely than not, that's going to help Bitcoin go up in the near future, and that will help Bitcoin go through that $9,400 to $9,500 resistance level. It would just take one really bad day on the stock market to make Bitcoin go through that resistance. And then there's another factor. We talked about Iran on several of the past shows. So Iran did something again today. They shot down a United States drone. So it wasn't like an aircraft that had a pilot in it. If that was the case, this would have been war right now. But yeah, they shot down like a drone, which is like it costs millions of dollars for a drone. It's like pretty much an airplane. It's not like a little drone like that people have that they play around with in their backyard. We're talking like this is like a full-scale sized airplane drone from the U.S. military. And Iran shot it down over international waters. Iran claimed it was in their territory. The U.S. says it absolutely was not. But yeah, that's an act of war, but probably not enough to lead to a war because no one was killed. But that being said, things are heating up in the Strait of Hormuz right next to Iran. We have the U.S. military and the United Kingdom, the British military, the Royal Marines, and who knows how many other militaries are in this one little shipping lane between, like, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. I guess it's the Arabian Peninsula and Iran. It's like this little narrow body of water, and we have all these militaries in there, and things are blowing up every couple of days now. And maybe that's why Bitcoin has been able to go up this morning despite the stocks going up a lot. So Bitcoin is looking mildly bullish, like I said, despite stocks looking really bullish, which is kind of like counterintuitive. But maybe it's people buying up Bitcoin in expectation of a war with Iran, which is appearing more likely now. There's no confirmation on that yet. But if there's one more event that's really like an act of war and the war's starting up and stuff, Bitcoin will probably rally up to 10,000 and then beyond, I think. Because basically, this sort of war would be like World War III. Russia and China are allies with Iran. And then, of course, they're against everyone else that's in the United States' coalition. So this is like almost World War III we're talking about. That would severely disrupt global trade. It would cause the stock market to crash pretty much. And also, governments print lots of money during a war, especially like a world war, in order to fund their militaries, and printing such large amounts of money leads to fiat inflation. So Bitcoin's a hedge against fiat inflation. Like, all things be equal, if the US dollar or other fiats inflate, like they lose value because they're printing money, Bitcoin just automatically goes up. And aside from that, Bitcoin would be the best investment option if the stock market's going down due to a weakening stock market during a war. So just to recap, the two important things to watch is the stock market, which is like pretty much at its top resistance level that it's hit a couple times in the past year and a half, and it's only gone down once it hits this level. And then also to watch what goes on with Iran, since if the stocks crash or if Iran really flares up, we're probably talking Bitcoin going up to that $10,000 level. And $10,000 is a major psychological resistance level, but it's like less resistance, more like if we break 10,000, that would probably spark a major, major rally. So that's something important to watch. We're within striking distance of that. If we just break through 9,400 to 9,500, we might be like rapidly pulled towards $10,000, I think. And then if we break that, that's a big deal. One more thing to note is that the CME Bitcoin futures expiration for June is coming up on June 28th. So we have 8 days until the next CME Bitcoin futures expiration. And the CME Bitcoin futures expiration has in the past often been a pivot point for the market. Even this last expiration at the end of May, Bitcoin suddenly went down from like $9,000 to $7,500. So things went from bullish to bearish during the last expiration at the end of May. Bitcoin has since recovered itself due to other fundamental factors. We had that Hong Kong extradition bill, having people funnel money offshore of Hong Kong, and they did it with Bitcoin, a lot of Bitcoin at least. It wasn't all with Bitcoin, but a lot of Bitcoin was probably involved with that. So people were funneling money offshore Hong Kong, increasing Bitcoin demand. And then Iran is flaring up, so that's causing people to invest in Bitcoin in a speculative way in case there's a war. So there were some fundamental factors that reversed course. But when that expiration did happen in the end of May, the CME expiration, Bitcoin did go from bullish to bearish. And it's always possible for Bitcoin to go from bullish to bearish when a CME Bitcoin futures expiration happens. So 8 days from now is very important to watch how the Bitcoin market reacts. And actually, it takes a few days to a week to determine which way the market's going after an expiration. But this month, the month of June 2019, has proven that even if Bitcoin gets a bad rating after the CME expiration, like it was definitely bearish after this expiration at the end of May, it still has a chance to reverse itself and actually go from bearish to bullish in the middle of the month. So that's interesting data. So CME Bitcoin futures expiration, even if something bad happens after the expiration in the market, it's not set in stone. Moving on to the rest of the cryptocurrency market analysis. So Ethereum is up 0.1%, it's near $268. Ripple's down 1.1%. Litecoin is down 2%. Bitcoin Cash is down 1.4%. EOS is down 1.6%. Binance Coin up 3.4%. It's almost at $37 now. So after Binance Coin went down a bit following them banning United States users, because people in the United States probably sold off a lot of Binance Coin at that point, now Binance Coin is back to like its all-time high, near $37 now. up 3.4%. Bitcoin SV is down 5%. Stellar is down 2.7%. Cardano is down 2.4%. Tron is down 1.5%. Bitfinex's LEO tokens up almost 3%. So it's a good morning for exchange tokens. So Binance Coin and LEO are leading the crypto market today, it seems like. So LEO is near $1.90, $1.9 billion market cap. Monero's up 1.8%. It's just over $100 now. It's been doing really good over the last week. Dash is up 0.3%, near $160. Cosmos is down 4.8%. IOTA is down 5.1%. Ethereum Classic is down 0.5%. NEO is down 2.9%. Tezos is down 7.1%. And Zcash is down 2.7%. And finally, Dogecoin is up 1.2%, much wild such gain. So it's a mixed day on the crypto markets. Bitcoin is going up. We have a few other cryptos, especially LEO and Binance Coin going up, and Monero. But generally, most of the major cryptocurrencies are in the red, and this has caused the Bitcoin dominance percentage to rise back up to 57.3%. So Bitcoin is beating the rest of the market on average over the last day or so. The total crypto market cap is $287 billion. This is 187% above the bear market low of $100 billion in December, within striking distance of $292 billion, which was the 2019 high. So we're only $5 billion lower than that 2019 high that was hit only a few days ago, actually. And actually, overnight, after 10 p.m. Eastern time or so, the total crypto market cap hit $290 billion. So it was really close to the 2019 high last night. And if we just see a little bullish action, like let's say stocks after opening up way in the green this morning, like the stocks just crash down to like no gain or something, then Bitcoin will probably have a chance of going back up towards that resistance of $9,400 to $9,500, and the total crypto market cap would follow suit and probably go back up to its 2019 high. There's no guarantees here, but literally it just takes one more bullish little event and we'll be at the 2019 highs for Bitcoin and the total crypto market cap. We're just so close to that right now, within striking distance quite easily, even with one mildly bullish day. So that's all I have for the market analysis for today. Moving on to the first news story of the day. The collapse of Quadriga CX, which was like one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in Canada, that was one of the biggest stories earlier this year. And more information is coming to light. So what originally happened with this story is that the CEO and founder, Gerald Cotton, went off to India, and the supposed story was that he died there from a natural disease that he had. And so literally he went to India to build an orphanage, and then he died. So that's the official story that Quadriga CX put out. But now some really disturbing information is coming out, and a lot of the cryptocurrency community speculated that it was probably some sort of fraudulent situation going on. Now there's the proof here. So apparently Gerald Cotton was creating fake customer accounts on Quadriga CX, and he would just pump it with money. So since he owned and operated the exchange, he could just be like, okay, this account has $10 million or like $1 million. So he would just put $1 million in the balance, even if it didn't exist, and then he would go on Quadriga CX and trade that fake money he just put in the account for real cryptocurrency from the customers. So Gerald Cotton would load up on real cryptocurrency from the customers with the fake money, and then he would transfer the cryptocurrency off of the exchange. So he laundered the money off of his own exchange, and then he would margin trade with it. He margin traded several cryptocurrencies on several different exchanges, it looks like, and he lost really big. There's one example where he started with $80 million and he got totally liquidated, and only 8 bitcoins were remaining. That's just one story. And in total, Quadriga CX owed its customers about $180 million to begin with, and they still need another $160 million to pay back the customers in full, which doesn't look like it's coming. So the estate of Gerald Cotton actually has like $24.5 million. And here's another part of the story. So Gerald Cotton was giving him and his wife payments directly from the exchange with no oversight. So he purposely made it so like there was practically no accounting. So he would just like ask the exchange, like, hey, send me my paycheck for this much. And so he was like funneling money off the exchange directly into his bank accounts anyways in fiat, and then he was laundering it off in cryptocurrency. He's basically stealing everything there was in the exchange. Oh yeah, back to the original story, there's one key point I forgot. So The story was he went to India to build an orphanage and he died from a natural disease he had, and also that he had all the cold storage wallet private keys. So the story was that he had all the private keys when he died, and like they found his laptop, but they couldn't get into it because of the encryption. And that was a convenient story to act like they lost all the crypto because he died and he didn't do proper procedures to store the keys correctly so other people could get them if he died. But anyways, it's looking like now that was totally false. And there was other news stories in the recent past about, hey, like the cold storage wallets had nowhere near as much money as was claimed anyways. And this reveals why. It's because he was margin trading. It's basically gambling what he was doing. It doesn't look like he did it with much skill. Like, if you do margin trading, you spend a lot of time and effort learning how to do it, and you do it properly, and you do it very slowly, only making the best decisions, you can make a lot of money margin trading. I mean, that's what they do at the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They make a lot of money margin trading because they take their time and go slowly. But it seems like Gerald Cotton was doing this with reckless abandon. Like, since it wasn't really his money, he was just, like, gambling like he was at a casino, and he got liquidated a bunch of times, and he lost the money, pretty much, from Quadriga CX. So this is a horrible story. The equivalent would be of Coinbase, like the founder of Coinbase, and this is just an example. This would not happen. Coinbase is really good and reputable and compliant, but imagine if Coinbase just took all the customers' money and margin traded and lost everything. Because Quadriga CX was Canada's biggest exchange. It was like the Coinbase of Canada, pretty much. And this happened where everything got stolen by the founder and CEO. And then the CEO claims to have died and lost all the keys with him, pretty much. Whether Gerald Cotton is actually dead or not kind of remains unknown. So at this point, he's claimed to be dead. There's a death certificate from India. I remember reading a news story around the time this happened that there's a famous death certificate mafia in India, exactly where he went, pretty much. But anyways, the ultimate final act of this story would be if Gerald Cotton is caught and found alive. And no one knows if that will ever happen. Maybe he is dead. Maybe he's alive. But yeah, I don't think this story is over just yet. But it's definitely looking like this was fraud to begin with. Moving on to the next story. There's a new cryptocurrency called Algorand. So I'll spell it out. A-L-G-O-R-A-N-D. And they raised $60 million in a Dutch auction token sale in, like, only several hours, it looks like. And so they sold 25 million tokens, and they raised $60 million. So that's a price per token of $2.40. And I believe the way a Dutch auction works is, like, you start with the highest price possible in the auction, and then it slowly goes down, and eventually all the coins are sold as the price goes down during the auction. And it seems like $2.40 was the average price that coins were bought at. Some were obviously bought above that and below that, but $2.40 is the average. Some people have run away with this information and said, oh, there's going to be 10 billion total Algorand tokens, so that means that it has a market cap of $24 billion. And that would place it like right at the top of the coin market cap list, like right behind Ethereum. So Ethereum's like $28 billion and Algorand would be $24 billion if these people are accurate. They're not accurate, though. So Binance has done token sales in the recent past. In fact, they do one at least every month, maybe every couple weeks. And what they do is on Binance is they release like 2% of the total coin supply. And the price is really high when they do that because everyone's rushing in. Like there's a lot of demand for the new token on Binance that they're launching. And then there's not much supply. So the price ends up being a lot higher than it should be. This is the case with Algorand as well. So there's going to be 10 billion total tokens, but only 25 million tokens were sold in this auction. So that means Algorand only released 0.25% of all the tokens that will ever exist. That's even less than Binance does. So Binance does 2% of the tokens when they do their little exchange ICOs on there. Algorand only released 0.25% of their tokens. It still looks promising, but the market cap is not going to be $24 billion. As they release more tokens and dilute the supply, basically, and also the initial hype is going to wear off too, so there's going to be probably less demand and the supply is going to be a lot more and the price is going to crash of this token. That's just how supply and demand works. I'm not shooting down Algorand from the start though, but definitely don't believe anyone that says this is going to be like right behind Ethereum on CoinMarketCap. It has a chance maybe it'll be in the top 20 somewhere. There's a chance of that. And it is live now, so they went live with their mainnet and they're live. And they're not really listed on any big exchanges yet, actually. So I look at CoinGecko. So CoinGecko is like CoinMarketCap, except it has like all the shitcoins, basically, that aren't really listed anywhere. I'm not saying Algorand's a shitcoin. It's not. It's just like, it's only on CoinGecko right now. And there's like one little exchange that's really obscure with maybe tens of thousands of dollars of trading volume per day for Algorand. And that's it. So anyways, what is Algorand? So I'll just read this website here. It says, a borderless economy, boundless opportunity. Algorand is defining the standard for blockchain technology. Our pure proof-of-stake protocol is the first of its kind to support the scale, open participation, and transaction finality for billions of users, all backed by sustainable business and a renowned team of experts. And I don't want to be sarcastic or anything, but we talked on a past show, maybe it was like a month or two ago, there was like this website that was like a blockchain project ideas generator. So you click the button, it would be like, the blockchain for ride sharing, the blockchain for this, the blockchain for that. So you click a button and it would just like give you shockingly realistic results. So all it would do is like, it would use like an algorithm to combine different blockchain websites, because there's been so many ICOs now and they use kind of like similar language. So this website would take it all, mash it together and give you a result that's a blockchain project idea. And Algorand's website sounds just like that. Like, I'm not seeing any juice here. It says, okay, it's proof of stake. There's plenty of proof of stake blockchains. And let me see this. Beyond the hype, built to be sustainable, governed by open operating standards, Algorand is leading the blockchain evolution for good. And then even further, Algorand builds opportunities so anyone can create prosperity. And then I'm seeing here, for developers to create and innovate and reliable blockchain apps, for enterprises to safely open and embrace new markets, for anyone to share in building a better world beyond borders. So I'm seeing a lot of juicy, fluffy words here with not much content. As far as I can see right now, this is a proof-of-stake cryptocurrency. That's kind of like Ethereum if it was proof-of-stake. And we know that Ethereum is actually going to proof-of-stake eventually. It might take some time, though, because it's decentralized and they got to like get people to actually agree on going to proof-of-stake for Ethereum. But anyways, Algorand looks like proof-of-stake Ethereum, so they're trying to beat Ethereum to the punch and be like proof-of-stake Ethereum before Ethereum goes to proof-of-stake. That's what it looks like to me. I'm not shooting it down. It could very well end up in the top 20 on CoinMarketCap. Probably not the top 10, but the top 20 seems quite possible for Algorand. But really, it seems like another Ethereum competitor with a proof-of-stake twist. And it's not going to have a market cap of $24 billion. But I guess the news, though, of today is that, yes, it did its token sale and the mainnet went live. So Algorand is working now. And those people that bought 0.25% of the token supply, they could run free and have prosperity on the Algorand blockchain. So that's all I have for you today on this June 20th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7. For the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They have made over 400% profit since July. Even in the worst of the bear market, they were making lots of money. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time, and there's a full trade analysis of each trade. Just by reading their trade analysis, you will become an expert cryptocurrency trader. And it gets even better. You can ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.